we're going to start out today's show with our segment, our ongoing series, Campaigners for Black Lives. And the eyes of the nation are on California right now. Why? AB 392, a bill in the California Assembly that would raise the standard under which law enforcement can discharge their guns, passed out of the Assembly Committee in Sacramento, the Assembly Committee on Public Safety, on April 9th. Testimony from family members who had loved ones killed by police officers, as well as community activists, were heard in support of AB 392. The bill was introduced by Assemblymember Shirley Weber, Democrat of San Diego. Those in opposition include the California Fraternal Order of Police, who claim the bill would put them in more danger. The California State Sheriff's Association also opposed the bill. However, although it passed out of assembly in a 5-2 vote, out of the Assembly Committee of Public Safety in a 5-2 vote, passage of the legislation is not ensured. A bill said to be a compromise has been proposed in the Senate, and rather than the assembly bill heading to a vote in the assembly, it has been moved to the Assembly Rules Committee. It is seen as an effort to block or water down the bill. On the Senate side, law enforcement organizations are supporting a bill, Senate Bill 230, which would simply require that a policy that provides use of force guidelines and stresses training, that the use of force guidelines and underscoring training be put in place. Law enforcement agencies are seeing SB 230 as an alternative to the bill that passed out of the Assembly Committee on Public Safety, that is AB 392. Now, with police shootings on the rise across the nation and Black and brown communities who are most impacted seeing very little, if any, justice, the eyes of the nation are on California to see how this controversial bill, AB 392, will play out. Let us go to a clip now on AB 392.
I'm here to present to you AB 392, the California Act to Save Lives. This bill seeks to change California's legal standard for when police can use deadly force to match best practices already in place at some departments, and that we know work to keep both officers and the public safe. In 2017, officers killed 172 people in California. Most of those were unarmed. Of the 15 police departments with the highest per capita rates of police killings in the nation, five of them are in California: Bakersfield, Stockton, Long Beach, Santa Ana, and San Bernardino. In 2015, police in Kern County killed more people per capita than any other U.S. county. Current law results in officers killing civilians far more often than is necessary, leaving many families and communities devastated and the general public less safe. These tragedies disproportionately impact communities of color. Studies show police killed unarmed young Black men at more than 20 times the rate they kill young white men. This has understandably created a rift between police and community members to the detriment of public safety. The power of police officers to use deadly force is perhaps the most significant responsibility we confer on any public official, and it must be guided by the goal of safeguarding human life. Police officers should never take a human life when there are alternatives. However, current law sanctions police use of deadly force even when officers do not face an imminent threat to their life or bodily security, and even when officers have reasonable alternatives at their disposal to safely address a situation without taking anyone's life. California's existing law governing when a homicide by an officer is justified was written in 1872. This code, being the single oldest unamended use of force statute in the country, not only fails to include best practices, but authorizes deadly force that violates the U.S. Constitution.
Sirs should be held accountable.
At the state capitol, the energy overflowing, spilling over into the hallway for Assembly Bill 392.
Stockton actually had one of the highest rates of police-involved shootings in the nation,
which would revolutionize police use of deadly force.
We can't continue to have a bill and a law from 1872.
A passionate turnout.
They knew my son had mental illness. This kid didn't have a police record. He didn't even have a speeding ticket.
Rooted in deep pain.
You may have heard of the movie Fruitvale Station, but that's my life. My son was killed there.
From mother.
Please pass this bill so that they may be prosecuted for killing my baby.
After mother.
And after they killed my son, they gave each other a high five.
After mother.
My son is Nathaniel Harris Pickett. He was gunned down by San Bernardino County Sheriffs. I'm a retired U.S. Army colonel, two-time combat vet at the Pentagon on the day it was hit.
Okay, so there you have it. And I'd like to welcome back to Sojourner Truth our guest, Dr. Malina Abdullah. Malina, welcome.
Thank you so much, Margaret.
Dr. Malina Abdullah, professor, author, and community organizer in Los Angeles. She is an original member of Black Lives Matter and now serves on the leadership team for Black Lives Matter. She is committed to ending state-sponsored and police violence towards all people, and especially Black people. She is professor and chair of Pan-African Studies Department at Cal State University, Los Angeles. And she's also the immediate past campus president and current counsel for affirmative action chair for the California Faculty Association, which is the union for faculty. So, Malina, tell us about both the importance of this bill, but in the lead up to the introduction of the bill, the kind of mobilization that Black Lives Matter, but also a score of other community-based organizations across the state have had to do.
Sure. So most people know that Black Lives Matter, our primary work is not legislative work. In fact, we've only co-sponsored one other bill. This is the second bill that we're co-sponsoring. The reason that we're co-sponsoring the bill is because it's a meaningful bill that really will help to kind of rein in the way in which our community is abused and killed by police. So it does three things. It changes the use of force standard. So it moves it from what they call the reasonable officer standard. Listeners will know that most officers get off because they say, "I feared for my life," and that's all they have to say. And then they're kind of off the hook. So it eliminates that excuse. It requires a de-escalation, the employment of de-escalation tactics. And then it holds officers who kill our people outside of these standards criminally liable. So there will be real repercussions for police. And one of the other things that we do that's more in line with Black Lives Matter is we protest the district attorney every single week, because she refuses to prosecute the police. She's been able to use the excuse, "Oh, well, the standards are too high, and so I'm not able to prosecute them." When this bill goes into effect, no district attorney in the state will be able to say that they're unable to prosecute the police who kill our folks.
Right. And Black Lives Matter LA and in other parts of the state clearly were part of a number of organizations that worked to support this bill, but also to get it introduced. Who are some of the other supporters of this legislation, and who are the ones who are opposing it?
So we're really appreciative of Shirley Weber, the bill's author, who comes out of San Diego. She's the former chair of Africana Studies at San Diego State. So Dr. Weber really has an eye on, you know, how do we protect especially Black communities? But as we know, what happens to Black communities visits other communities, especially brown folks, Muslim folks, immigrant folks, and poor folks. And so she is the bill's author, and she's been working in close partnership with us, with Policy Link, with the ACLU, Youth Justice Coalition, my labor union, the California Faculty Association, the Anti-Police Terror Project, PICO, which is an organization of spiritual leaders who recognize that the spiritual work that they do, the religious work that they do, has to be tied to justice work. So a host of organizations are co-sponsoring the bill. And then organizations that are not co-sponsors are also signing on quickly to support White People for Black Lives, showing up for racial justice. The NAACP is looking to get involved. Even organizations that we don't normally work with understand that this is something that's hugely important. I think most important, though, is that this is driven by those who are most directly impacted by police killings. So the clip that you played showing the mothers or where the voices of the mothers are centered is really, really important. Last week when we went up and got this passed, so we had buses coming up from Los Angeles, over 300 folks showed up in Sacramento on April 9th and advocated for this bill. And those buses were filled with not only community organizers, but most importantly, the families of those who've been killed by police, who are saying, you know, in order for my child, in order for my sister, in order for my parents' life to mean something, something has to come out of their murder. And they really believe that by passing this bill, they'll be able to save lives and honor the their loved ones by doing this work. So it's passed through committee, which is a tremendous first step. Every Democrat on that committee voted in favor of this bill. But we also know that Republicans especially, but also some Democrats, listen too much to police, right? And so they are swayable. And as the bill passes through committee, we also need to start letting our elected officials know, letting our legislators know that we need them to support it as it goes to the full floor for a vote. And so we're asking everybody to get involved at this point and make sure that they call their legislator and say that they support AB 392, because the police have mobilized. They have given money to elected officials to say, do not pass this bill. They're afraid of this bill because they don't want to be held accountable. So we need everybody to call their legislator and say, you know, don't listen to the police lobby's money. Listen to the voice of the people who elected you. And so if you don't know who your legislator is, you can call this number, 855-644-2258. And it will connect you with your legislator. And we just need you to say, hey, I'm a voter, and we need you to pass AB 392 so that our people can live and not continue to be killed by police with impunity.
Could you repeat that number, Melina?
Sure. It's 855-644-2258. 855-644-2258. And that's the number to be connected to your assembly member so that you can ask them to support AB 392.
Right. Well, Melina Abdullah, thank you again for joining us, for breaking this down for us. And also, Melina, you and Black Lives Matter, you partner with us for our weekly Campaigners for Black Lives. And we do know for our listeners around the country, people are paying very close attention to this because we know that police shootings of Black and brown people, not only a California phenomenon, but a national one with very little justice. So, Dr. Melina Abdullah, thank you so much.
Margaret, can I say just one more thing really quickly?
Okay.
We have to block that Senate Bill 230, which is the police's bill that's trying to get more money for police. Training always means more money for police.
Yeah.
And it's really lying about what it's trying to do. So a group of us are going up to Sacramento next Tuesday. If any of your listeners want to join the bus ride, it's completely free. There's food, and it's a lot of fun to really kind of be in community with folks who believe in justice. So if they're interested, please email us at Black Lives Matter. It's email blmla@gmail.com. blmla@gmail.com if you want to get on the bus next Monday night to be up there. Tuesday, we'll be back by Tuesday night.
Okay, and if you send us that information as well, we'll post it on our social media so our listeners can access it. Thank you so much,
Melina. Thank you so much.